Thankful for each and every one of you that's made it out to our morning worship service. For seeing visitors here, I'd like to welcome this morning for the first time. God's blessed us all. I do know we have one new visitor. Tony, you need to come up here and introduce your new visitor this morning. I won't embarrass you, but y'all be proud.
I'm embarrassed. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed man. And Chelsea, Deb, you want to? We got to do this. We got to come up. We got to do all this. Yeah, you got to come up here. Mom, all come on up. Mom, all come up. Yeah, everybody. This is our, and she'll have to give the details because I just know she's pretty and she's cute. And some people even said she looks like me, but I wouldn't put that on anybody. But I don't know. She's.
That born on August 22nd.
There you go. Like I said, you know, going in this, you know, there were some health issues going in, and we've dealt with that for many years. And as a dad or a grandpa, you know, you're concerned. But God's good. God's good. Amen. Chelsea's healthy, and the baby's healthy, and spoiled already, and she just loves Papa. But I appreciate the Lord what he's done.
Yeah.
And I give him all the praise and all the credit. But, continue to pray for us, but and Chelsea, you know, being a single mom, it's going to be tough, but she's got us, and she's strong, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good, but we appreciate you.
You got one more, too. Look, you stand up there and get him up here.
Oh, but we've done this. You must not have been here today.
Meredith said they already did. I ain't wasn't here. I just want to get for singing, but okay, never mind then.
Don't go. And we also got a couple of them kids going to get married here soon, too, another one. I don't know where it's in the water here or not, but we're thankful for them. They are very, very dedicated to their church. You see them here every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. When they can, they're very dedicated, and God will take care of them, no doubt, no doubt. I wasn't going to embarrass her. Everybody knows her. I look for her.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know if there's anything to it or not, but TJ was standing up with a gun against him yesterday in a picture I've seen now. Hey, I don't know anything else about that, but God's good all the time. And you don't think we don't serve an awesome God. We do. We've been studying about Pentecost in our Sunday school class. Maybe I'm talking too much, but I got a story to say about that. We think it's Pentecost. We went through that one time. It seemed like Pentecost come for us. We was having a big old camp out probably 30-some years ago, big youth group, bunch of us. And it was in the hundreds that day. I mean hot. And no wind or nothing. We always have a campfire service, praising God. So we got around that campfire service, and people wanted to get saved. So they come up there, and we start praying. And all at once, you know what happened? The coolest wind come through there, right through that field you ever seen. And the embers shot up off of that fire like you wouldn't believe. And we had people saved. We had people shouting. We had people testifying. So you don't think I don't know that there's a God. I experienced it there. And I experienced it several other times, too. That puts me where I am today. I have no doubt no doubt that there's a God out there, people. So, anybody got a testimony or anything before we get started here? Not we'll take up offering first. You got any help? Yes.
While they're coming, we have a new couple here, not new to the church, but new for each other, Mr. and Mrs. Robert Bryan.
Right.
That's Robert Bryan. Stand up, Robert.
Stand up.
They done got hit stuff. I asked him when they got engaged, when you get married, he said, oh, probably February or March. So I know who had to say in that. Cheryl would say something. We're blessed. We're blessed to have him. Okay. Timmy, say the prayer for the offering.
The holy hills of heaven call me to mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given. The hills of home are calling me, this house of flesh is but a prison, bars of bone hold my soul, but the doors of clay are gonna burst wide open. When the angel said, my spirit free, I'll take my flight like a mighty eagle. When the hills of home start calling me, I see loved ones over yonder. Tears are gone and hearts are free. And from the throne my Savior beckons, and the hills of home are calling me, this house of flesh is but a prison, bars of bone hold my soul, but the doors of clay are gonna burst wide open. When the angel said, my spirit free, I'll take my flight like a mighty eagle. When the hills of home start calling me,
Anybody got anything for his choir? Fires up.
Thank the Lord.
Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. All right, Chris.
Thank you. really a blessing. You know, I don't get stirred up too often, but when I listen to that choir, I get stirred up. Amen. I guess you call that the Holy Spirit, you know. You know, I never know when I'm going to jump up here or anything, but, you know, the Lord's been good to me.
Sure.
And I love the Lord, and I love this church, and I love all my brothers and sisters. But that choir, you just bless my heart all the time. Praise the Lord for you.
That food. And Meredith told me this morning she invited Isaac and Olivia back over tonight for supper.
Oh boy.
That's two Sundays in a row. I've got to eat twice. I'm pretty excited about that.
Keeps going.
Amen.
You have to
take up a
question.
Yeah.
Here we go.
If I'm home.
Get your hymnal. Let's all stand. Turn to 137 as the choir goes down. 137.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all rejoicing and will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing and will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Now onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold when we all to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Debbie Lewis, how's your dad? I miss him.
He sprained both of his ankles trying to mow in his bank, and one ankle is better, but the other one is still so swollen you can't get a shoe on it. And then he developed an infection, cellulitis on the foot that is still swollen. So he's still having a rough time.
Amen.
He misses being here.
Yeah. He needs our prayers.
Yes, he does.
I miss him. I miss him. Anybody got anything else before Trent comes? DJ, pray for your son as he comes to preach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be honest, really nervous this morning for some reason, but also have a bit of a heavy heart for someone. Whenever you see something going on in someone's life, and then and you know what they're going to have to go through because of that, and you just kind of have a heavy heart for them. You know what I'm talking about? And I have a heavy heart for Luke. I know how difficult it is to live with Taylor. I think I had you guys going there for a second, didn't I? No, I'm happy for him. Luke's a lucky guy, I'm telling you. Taylor's there's not many girls like my sister in this world, and she's the type of girl I look for myself. You know, the way she lives her life and everything. So. He's a lucky guy.
And Jamie was laughing this morning when we pulled on the lot because your sister was out there with the lint roller cleaning your pants up.
Yeah.
So
I walked out. These black pants had dog hair all over them. And luckily, Kelly Harper had a lint roller in her purse, and Taylor was helping me get it cleaned up. But it's been about 2 years about this month since I got up here and said that God had called me to preach, and it's been, I wouldn't say it's always been the funnest, because it's been a lot of work, and that's why I was hesitant to get into it anyways. I know how much of a commitment it was, but I'll be honest, it has been an amazing, amazing experience. Just one example this morning, just the way God talks to you, it's just truly amazing. And when you get messages ready, and as much time as you have to put into it, it can be annoying that you have to. I don't mean to say annoying, but when I'm studying for school and I have to pause and study for this, and it's a lot of time. And but whenever you get into it, and God starts talking to you, it just feels great. And this morning I was sitting there listening to the choir and everything, and I just wasn't so sure that this is the right message for this morning. And I was like, God, I need to hear something, whether it's a testimony or something that just gives me confirmation that this is what I'm supposed to be speaking on. And today's message is about grace and God's grace. And just before I get up here, what does Jim say in his testimony? He said, and this wasn't the focal point of his testimony, but he said, by the grace of God, we're all here today. Amen. And when I heard grace, and I thought, that's my confirmation. That's all I need. Because he didn't have to say that. But for whatever reason, God put it on his heart to say that. And so this morning's message is about grace. And that was all the confirmation that I needed, that that's what we need this morning. So if you guys would turn to Matthew chapter 20. We'll be turning a few different places. And I don't know why I'm so nervous this morning. It's a full crowd. And like I said, I've been doing this for 2 years now. But I still get nervous sometimes, and I'm thankful to see some people here that I don't always get to be in church with. I'm thankful to see Kelsey here this morning. She's usually in school and stuff, and you know, me and Kelsey have grown up together since we were little and been through school together, and I haven't always been the best person, and she'll get on to me about it, and she'll keep me in line, and I appreciate that. We need people in our lives that sometimes we think we're getting away with something, and somebody just got to say, hey, you're not living the right way you're supposed to be living, and they'll get in, and we need that. Sometimes we're not going to get on to ourselves a lot of times, so I appreciate her for being a good friend like that, to always just be there along the way, keep me on the right path, you know. Anyways, Matthew chapter 20, and if you would, we're going to be reading in verse 1 through 16, and this is the Jesus telling the parable about the householder and him going out and paying the workers, and so starting in verse 1, Matthew chapter 20, we'll read through verse 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, it's about 3 hours later, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out 6 hours later, 9 hours later, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise also received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have brought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. So there's two kind of... What would you say the theme of this parable is? And whenever you guys read this, what comes to mind as a theme? We're all equal in God's eyes. What else? Anything else? So my two themes was something along the lines of that we're all equal is God's grace. It's through God's grace that we are all equal. And then also, it's not too late yet. That's my theme. Two themes for this, and we'll get to that. I'll explain that a little more later. But I was kind of thinking, you know, when I was studying this message about God's grace, and I thought, I really needed that lesson, but I didn't really understand why. I was like, I've been saved for 12 years now, since I was 9 years old, and you know, I don't understand why this message about grace means so much to me. I've known what grace is since I got saved, right? I know what grace is. I couldn't have learned anything from this, but I think, and some of you guys might be thinking the same thing, but I think sometimes we need those reminders. I think when I first got saved, I was so thankful for God's grace, and I was really, you know, I really understood how I didn't deserve this, and I didn't deserve to be able to go to heaven. And then I think sometimes, as for me personally, and I don't know about you guys, but the longer I've been a Christian, the more that I've done for God, and the more that I feel like I've been doing for God, sometimes it almost feels like I'm subconsciously thinking that I'm earning my keep, right? Well, we can never earn our keep to heaven. We never deserved it in the first place. So sometimes I needed this reminder that, hey, it's only through God's grace that I get to go to heaven. I can't earn heaven no matter what I do. I could say 1,000 messages. I could donate millions of dollars, and it doesn't matter. I can still never earn heaven and earn the gift that God gave me. And so it's only through His grace. And sometimes I just need to be reminded of that God's, we should be thankful for God's grace, and it's only through that that we get the gift that He gives. So the two themes: God's grace, and it's not too late yet. We'll get to the second one here later on. But in this parable, we can kind of, a lot of with Christ's parables, it's a commonplace story, and we take that and apply it to our lives, our Christian lives. And so here that there's a householder that needs some workers, and he goes out and offers a penny to anyone that'll work for him. And then he goes out 3 hours later, offers the same deal, a penny to whoever will work for him. 6 hours, 9 hours later, he offers the same deal, a penny to whoever's willing to accept that offer. And then he, again, 11 hours, almost near the end of the day, and he offers the same offer, a penny, to whoever will accept the offer. And if we think about in our Christian life, if we say that God is that householder that was offering that gift, and we are the laborers that's getting the gift offered to us, God offered us his son as a sacrifice to pay for our sins, and then he offered us a free ticket to heaven. And that's the offer. And it's the same offer whether we accept it early, whether we accept it late. It's the same offer to everybody. Just like in this parable here, where the householder was given that same offer, a penny a day for the day, to whoever accepted the offer. It's the same for us. God has that same offer, and all we have to do is accept it. It doesn't matter if we accept it early, accept it late. We just have to accept it, and we get that forgiveness through Jesus' sacrifice, and then we get that free ticket to heaven to live with God forever. And so that's an example of God's grace, that it doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter if we accepted him into our heart as a 4-year-old or as an 84-year-old, that's an example of God's grace, that it applies to everybody, no matter what you've done or haven't done or what you're going to do or what you aren't going to do in your future. As long as you accept that gift, that we get to go to heaven and we get our sins forgiven. And that's something that realistically we don't deserve. Nobody deserves it. And, do unsaved people deserve to go to heaven? Do they deserve heaven? No. Do saved people deserve heaven? No. And that's the example of God's grace, is that we don't deserve heaven. The saved people don't deserve heaven. Unsaved people don't deserve heaven. All we have to do to get to heaven is just accept the offer. Well, we don't deserve it, but we get to go just by accepting the offer. And that's just how God's grace is. Is that really nobody deserves it, but just by simply accepting his offer, just like those people in this parable, all they had to do was accept the offer for a penny a day, whether they were going to work for an hour at the end of the day or whether they worked all day. They accepted the offer and they got what the offer was, the gift was. They got it just by accepting it. And that's the same for us, whether we're unsaved, whether we're Christians, just accepting God's gift of eternal life in heaven, of Christ's sacrifice. That's our offer, and all we have to do is accept it. It's as simple as that. And we've heard that our whole life, but sometimes, for me personally, sometimes I just need to be reminded of that, of how good God's grace really is. And sometimes I forget. I've been saved for 12 years now, and sometimes I forget how much I really, really don't deserve what God's given me. And just by me saying yes, I get it. And that's amazing to me. That's amazing. But what is grace? And it's through God's grace that we get to accept that offer, even though we don't deserve it. But what is grace? Unmerited favor. What does that mean? We didn't earn it, right? So if you try to think about who all has worked 8-hour shifts in your life, probably a lot of people. Raise your hand if you worked 8-hour shifts. If you worked 10-hour shift, raise your hand. 12-hour shifts. So everybody's worked different hours of shifts. Can you imagine working? And then after you go a lot of times it's 2 weeks and then you get your paycheck. Can you imagine just not going to work for 2 weeks and then you get your full paycheck at the end of the 2 weeks as if you were there every day for your 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever it was, and how awesome that would feel to say, I didn't go to work for 2 weeks and I just got a full 2-week pay. And that'd be a good feeling, I think. Or if you just went off on vacation for 2 weeks and you come back and you just got paid Two weeks of pay just for going on vacation, and that would be awesome. Or if you were in a competition with somebody and you lost, but everybody treats you like you're the winner, and they give you a trophy, and you get the award for winning, but you didn't win, and that'd be a good feeling, you getting all this. But or if you get credit for something, that you get some big award that you didn't earn. But you got it, and somebody's giving you an award for it. I mean, that feels pretty good. But if you think about God's grace, we get heaven. That's the best thing we could ever get. And forgiveness for our sins. But we didn't do any work for that. But we get it. And that's just the perfect example of grace. Is imagine your 2 weeks' pay, not earning it, but you get it. And it's in our Christian life, we get eternity in heaven with God, the creator of heaven and earth. And we didn't earn it, but we get it. And that's just grace. That's grace in a nutshell there, is that we didn't earn it or do anything to deserve it, but we get it anyways. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I don't know what, maybe this message is just for me, but I just really enjoyed studying about this and getting, just remembering how thankful I should be that I get it to worship God, I get to have my sins forgiven, I get to go to heaven just by accepting His offer. And I don't even have to deserve it. I could never deserve it, but I get it anyways. And I'm just thankful for that this morning. But if we go on, a second theme for this passage I wanted to talk about was, it's not too late yet. And because eventually it will be too late. But right now, if you're not saved and you haven't accepted God's gift that He's given to anybody, no matter what, He's given that gift if you just accept it. Right now, it's not too late. But it will be. Because Christ is coming back, or we're all going to, or whenever we die, at that point, it's too late. But right now, if you're here and you're breathing and Christ hasn't come back yet, it's not too late yet for you to accept that offer. And that's the same in this parable here. Those workers they were standing idle all day, and it said in the what they call it the market or some marketplace, something like that. And almost near the end of the day, they still hadn't accepted that offer yet. And then 11th hour, he comes, he offers them a penny, and they take it. So it wasn't too late for them yet, and they still got the same offer that the other people were offered in the beginning of the day. So same in our Christian walk, Christian life, or if we're not saved, just same for us, spiritual in our spiritual life. If we haven't accepted as a young child, if you're here today and you're still breathing and Christ hasn't come back yet, it's still not too late. You can still accept God's gift. Whether you're 4 years old, 84 years old, it's not too late yet. And so today is the day, because we don't know when we're going to leave this earth. We don't know when Christ is coming back. Nobody knows. But as of now, it's not too late. So think about that, because we don't know when too late is going to be. And when it's too late, it says, for the wages of sin is death. And if we're not saved, if we haven't been forgiven for our sins, then our eternity is in hell. And that's when it's too late. And really, the wages, the punishment for our sins, the only way to get into heaven is to be perfect. And are we going to be perfect? No. But can we look perfect with Christ who lived a perfect life, with His blood applied on our life? We can look perfect because of that, because of His perfect blood, and that's what gets us into heaven. Us ourselves, without that, we're not enough to get into heaven. We can't get into heaven through just ourselves, but through Christ's perfect blood applied on our life, that makes us perfect enough to get in. And I'm thankful for that this morning. But so as of now, it's not too late for us to accept that gift that God is offering, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're going to do, no matter how bad we've behaved or whatever it is, it's the same offer. No matter how old we are, it's the same offer. You just have to accept it. It's simple as that. So then we're going to move on to Luke chapter 23 and verse 39 through 43. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 43. So Jesus is on the cross here, and there's two thieves on both sides of him, on crosses themselves. So three people on a cross. Only two of them deserved it, but there were three of them on the cross anyways. So let's go ahead and read here, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, we have two thieves. Did either of them deserve heaven? No. Did any of them get to go to heaven? One of them did. Why? Because he believed and he accepted the gift that Christ was offering. And that was that simple. Neither of them deserved it. One of them got to go. And it was all he had to do was accept the offer. And just say that I believe, and I believe that you are who you say you are, talking to Christ. And Christ said, because of that, because of your belief, he's saying, today you will be with me in paradise. And that's so awesome to me that we're just no different than those thieves, really. We don't deserve heaven, just like they didn't deserve heaven. But just by accepting the offer from God, we get to go. And that is just amazing to me. And I'm thankful for that. That's what makes this Christianity thing so awesome, is that we don't have to earn it. We don't have to do, all we have to do is say yes, and that we believe, and we're in. And that's what the great thing about Christianity is. And if you're here this morning and you just really haven't understood this whole thing, it's just as simple as that. That we just got to believe. We just got to say, yes, I believe that Christ died on the cross for my sins. I know that I'm not perfect, but through Christ's blood applied on my life, I can be forgiven for those sins, and I get to go to heaven with God when I die or when Christ comes back forever, and just by accepting that offer. But then Matthew chapter 20. Let's go back to Matthew. And I'm kind of making you guys turn back and forth here. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 29 through 34. And somebody, I believe somebody preached on this little section the other day, and I'm not sure who it was now, sorry, but it was somebody that was preaching here. And it might not have even been in Matthew. I think there's a couple different accounts of it. But there's, we'll just go ahead and read chapter 20 of Matthew, verse 29 through 34. It says, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, they were following Christ. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So, in this situation, I thought it was pretty interesting to see that it says the multitude rebuked them. When they cried, those two blind men cried out, it says the multitude rebuked them, saying that they should hold their peace. Why would they say that to them? Why would they say, tell people that needed Christ to hold their peace? In a way, those people that was telling them to hold their peace were saying that those blind men hanging on by the roadside, that they weren't worthy. They didn't deserve Christ's time here. They didn't deserve to have Christ's attention here, that he was busy. None of us really deserve Christ's time, ever. But this is another example of God's grace, that whether they deserved his time or not, he gave them the time that they needed. And he gave them, just by crying out to Christ, he gave them his time and his love and his care and his help, whether the people around them thought they deserved it or not. And that's something that we're going to experience, whether we're saved or if we're not saved, especially. People around you might try to tell you that you've done too many things wrong, or you're just too far down in your life now to try to accept God now, that you're not worthy of this now. But we're never worthy. We're never worthy of it. But it's through God's grace that we get it anyways. And I've probably said that 10 times already or more in this message. But there's so many examples that we can see here of where people don't deserve something, but they get it anyways just through God's grace. And it was through Christ's grace and love here that the people around them tried to discourage them and say, you know, you don't deserve Christ's time. But Christ has time for all of us, even though we don't deserve it. And he had time for them here to heal them. So don't let others, or even Satan, Satan will try to discourage us. If we're not saved, he'll try to discourage us and say, you're just too far gone to try to get into this thing now. Or you went through your whole life now. I mean, what good would it do to get saved now? Satan will put those thoughts in your head, because he doesn't want you to accept that gift. He wants you to be in hell with him forever. He wants as many people as he can bring to hell with him. But all we got to do is accept the offer, and we avoid that. We got to accept God's offer, and we avoid that. We get to go to heaven. And so don't let Satan or don't let those around you discourage you from accepting that God's offer. It's a free offer for everybody, no matter what. So don't let anybody throw anything at you to discourage you from accepting God's offer today. And then one last thing I want to go to is the story of the prodigal son. And what happened there? There was two sons, and one of them wasn't really, I guess, necessarily living the right way. So he said he wanted his half of the inheritance from his father. He said he asked his father for it, and his father loved him. He gave him the inheritance, and he went out on his way. And he wasn't living the way he should be, and he went out and he blew all that money, and he hit rock bottom. And eventually, he comes back. He has no other choice. He just needs to. He said he'd go back to his father, and he would work as the lowest person in the lowest person there, just as long as his father would take him back. And but what happens? When he comes back to his father accepts him with open arms, and he doesn't have to work as the lowest person there. What do they say? They had the best, a big feast for him, and they treated him like he was, you know, a great person. No matter, even though he had done all these things out in the world, and maybe he didn't deserve this stuff. And it's the same with God. As many times as we might stray away, as many times as I've strayed away, and I come back, and God's standing there with open arms, just bringing me in. I thought about that, and there's a song called, I don't know if God Ran, I think is what it's called, God Ran, and it's whenever, it kind of talks about that, whenever we start kind of going the wrong way, and then whenever we finally turn back, it's almost as if God's coming to us. You know, we're trying to get back to, and he's just running to us, just welcoming us in. And I was thinking about, you know, if we're a little kid, and if we're young, and say we're in an amusement park, and we get lost from our parents, or we get lost from mother, I want to use a mom as a better example. They're more nurturing, I think, than dads are. But if we get lost from our mom, okay, and we're in an amusement park, and you know, we're 2, 3, 4 years old, I don't know. Anyways, we're scared, and we don't know where our mom is. And once we finally see her, and she sees us, I'm sure our moms were probably worried, right? And when she sees us, I'm sure she's going to be having her arms out, and we're just running to get to her. And because once we get to her, we're safe again, right? And you think about that feeling of just being welcomed back and loved, and feeling safe again. And before we were lost and scared, and that's how we are when we're not saved. We're lost. We're scared. We're wandering. But then once we decide to accept God's offer, it's like we can run to him, and he just gives us a big hug. He just welcomes us right in, and we feel safe. And that example might not have made any sense, but that's a good feeling. You can imagine that feeling of being back in your mom's arms when you're a little kid and feeling safe again. And that's how God is with us. No matter how lost we are or how far away we go, he's still standing there ready to bring us back in whenever we decide to make that choice. So if you're here this morning and maybe you've been saved and you've wandered and strayed away, or you're not really where you want to be, God's just waiting there to bring you back in. He doesn't care how far you've gone away from him. He doesn't care where you went, what you did. He's ready to bring you back in, just as long as you accept his offer of forgiveness and through his son's sacrifice. And it's just as simple as that. And that's awesome to me. That's a good feeling to me to be able to just accept that. And because I know I've strayed away in the past, and every time I come back, God's just ready there for me. And I'm so thankful that I serve a God like that. That no matter what I do, no matter what I've done, or no matter where I've been, that he's just ready to bring me in, love me, be there for me no matter what I go through. And even if I was to run away again, he'll take me right back if I just ask him to take me back. And I'm thankful for that. And if you're here, if everybody will stand as they would get a song, if you're here this morning and you've been dealing with something like that, to where, you know, you just gone farther away than you really wanted to go, it doesn't matter how far you went. Doesn't matter what you've done. God is ready with open arms just to bring you in. And also, or if you're not saved, and God's grace, it doesn't matter. Through God's grace, none of us, whether we're saved here this morning, we can all say that. We don't deserve heaven. It doesn't matter if we've given millions of dollars to the offering. It doesn't matter if we've been in church every second of our life. It doesn't matter if we've preached thousands of sermons. We will never be able to earn heaven. We'll never be able to deserve it. It's through God's grace that we get it anyways. And I'm thankful for that grace this morning. But if you're unsaved and you just really haven't experienced that grace before, or God's gift before, or His offer, you can get that this morning. All you have to do, come pray about it, talk to God about it, just say, God, I'm ready to accept Your offer this morning. I know I don't deserve it, but I'm thankful that I get that offer anyways. So if you're here this morning and you're feeling like you just want to, you're ready to accept that offer. Or maybe you thought that you didn't deserve it, but you know now, it doesn't matter if you deserve it or not. As long as you say yes to that offer, you get it. And it's just as simple as that. So as they sing, just feel free. The altar is open. If you want to accept that offer this morning, we'll be here to pray with you.
Page number 52.
Morning, I've kind of probably been preaching to the choir a little bit. You guys already know how good God's grace is and what God's gift is if you're saved, but you know, sometimes we need that reminder, just to remember how good God's grace really is in our lives. And you know, and whenever we remember that and we realize how much we don't deserve it, but we get it anyways, I think sometimes when we think about that, that makes us work even harder for God, because just to try to pay Him back, even though we never will be able to pay Him back for it, I think sometimes that makes us just pray a little more, makes us talk to Him a little more, makes us come to church a little more, just because we feel like we're just so thankful for what He's done for us. And sometimes I think we need that reminder. And if you're not saved this morning and you weren't able to make that choice to accept that gift, just remember, it doesn't matter if you leave today, if you're back in church again and or anywhere, and you feel like you just finally want to accept that offer, you can at any point. At any time, you can accept that offer. It's an offer for everybody. So just remember that. Anybody have anything before we dismiss?
That was marvelous grace.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous grace. But I'm so thankful for it.
Yep.
Because the psalmist says, He looked beyond my thoughts and saw my life. Nobody can put on this battle.
Yeah.
I praise Him for that.
Amen.
Good job, sir. Very good.
Yeah. Amen.
Anyone else have anything? I believe Wednesday night is when we're starting the. We're going to come in here at the start of the service. Everybody, even Wednesday night, the kids are coming in here. We're going to all pray together at the start of the service, kind of have a prayer all in honor of our revival that's coming up in about a month. We're going to all come in here, pray for that, try to get everybody's minds right. Each service starting Wednesday, we're going to come in Sunday morning before class, Sunday school and everything. We're all going to come in here and pray. Then we'll go to our Sunday school classes. Sunday night, we'll have our prayer in the beginning and Wednesday night throughout the month of October and starting this Wednesday. So remember that. Try to be here for that. We're just going to be starting out services in prayer, just trying to get our minds prepared and asking God to give us whatever we need to get revived. That's kind of our thing that we're going to try this year is to have prayer before every service and try to get our minds right, ready for revival. So anyone else? All right. Going to have Brian Harper, if you would, dismiss us in prayer.
Being prepared for your sermon, Lord, and you speaking your word through him, Lord. He does such a great job, and we appreciate him so much. And just help us, Lord, to understand what Trent says to us, Lord, through your word. If someone's here that's unsaved, may that heart be softened. May that hardened heart be softened just a little bit, Lord, to accept your word. And just watch over and protect us as we go home, Lord, and bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.